searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
What is the one most important thing our society needs?
That would be harsher punishment for parole violators, Stan. And world peace.
Hello and thank you for being there. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity for Friday, the 29th day of May, 2020. I hope you and yours are doing well, that you are in a violence-free area, and that you're looking forward to a couple of days you can call a weekend. Some of us can't. And hopefully we can provide the service here reminding you that the weekend is upon us. And Monday will remind you that the weekend is over, even if you didn't have one. So I hope you're well. You doing well? Good. Glad to hear it. It is it's a crazy day in our country, as it usually is when those who are all about disrupting our society are getting attention. And honestly, I think we could solve an awful lot of problems in America today if the people pitching a fit didn't get all the attention they get. It's a lot like a toddler who's pitching a fit to get what they want. If you don't give them the attention they want, they eventually burn out. Now, that's not a wise thing to do in public, because trust me, there are people, like me, who would prefer that you take your toddler out and teach them a little lesson about how to behave in public, something that every parent knows is going to happen at some point with their child. You are going to pick that child up. You are going to drag that child to a restroom and teach them a lesson. In whatever manner. But in our society, we have certain people who feel like they should pitch a fit to get their way. Well, guess what? The news media loves you. You're driving up their ratings. You're driving up their revenue. You're driving up their business. You're making things great for the news media, but not necessarily for yourself. The very people that you hate, those who are making lots of money, are the people you're helping by pitching a fit in public for the news cameras. And some news cameras got put in jail yesterday. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. It's a silly day in our country. It's a sad day in our country. We have a police officer who obviously did something wrong. We have and I know that's putting it lightly. He did something wrong. Well, yeah, he did. And he had a history of doing things wrong. And oddly enough, a presidential candidate had an opportunity to deal with this guy severely in a legal fashion a few years back and didn't. And go look up that story, Amy Klobuchar. She was the AG at the time. This guy had a record of misbehaving on the force, and she didn't act. Go look the story up. But now he has come to a point where he's done something that is just so horrible it can't be ignored. And he has been dealt with in one way, but there are those who are demanding further action, and there are those who are demanding more. And while they're demanding more, they're getting brand new 50-inch televisions and trying to break open cash registers with no cash in them. So today in America, we're watching people disrupt our society because they can. And I encourage you to do some digging and find out why similar protests are going on outside of Minneapolis. I'll give you a name to start with. Antifa. If you do a little digging, you'll find out that Antifa is organizing these kinds of protests around America today, which is why they're popping up in city after city. Antifa can be directly linked to what's happening in Colorado right now, as well as other places. Go do a little digging and you'll see their fingerprints are all over the country. Because Antifa is a thuggish organization that is all about the fascist takeover of America. They say they're anti-fascism, but all of their actions disprove their claim. And there are others who are acting as well. For example, Twitter censored a tweet from the president last night. President Trump expressed anger at rioters in Minneapolis who were dishonoring the memory of George Floyd and warned that when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Trump's remarks, says Twitter, were glorifying violence. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Is it actually glorifying violence to remind you that when looters begin looting a business, they could lose their lives justifiably and legally? When the looting starts, the shooting starts? It's just a turn of phrase, but it is the truth. It has happened. It happened in Minneapolis. A shop owner shot someone who came in to loot. He did so justifiably. And it is justifiable wherever. You remember in L.A. during the L.A. riots years ago, Asian business owners stood on the roofs of their buildings with their rifles aimed at the crowds to keep them out of their businesses. They did so legally. In Minneapolis, there were white guys with guns who stood outside of local businesses, one in particular, to protect that local business from being looted. It's legal. When the looting starts, the shooting starts. A reminder to the thug nation that you're taking your life in your own hands by breaking the law. He goes on to say, this is the tweet, I can't stand back and watch this happen to a great American city, Minneapolis. I total lack of leadership. Either the very weak radical left mayor, Jacob Frey, or get his act together and bring the city under control, or I'll send the National Guard and get the job done right. These thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I won't let it happen. Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz and told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty, and we will assume control, but when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Thank you. When Trump's tweet is embedded in a post, it doesn't show the censorship label that Twitter applied. However, a screenshot of the tweet on Twitter's platform shows the censorship label that Twitter applied to it, which says, this tweet violated the Twitter rules about glorifying violence. However, Twitter has determined that it may be in the public's interest for the tweet to remain accessible. Really? It wasn't glorifying violence to remind people that they may face armed resistance when they loot businesses. In a statement, Twitter Communications said, quote, this tweet violates our policies regarding the glorification of violence based on the historical context of the last line, its connection to violence, and the risk it could inspire similar actions today. We've taken action in the interest of preventing others from being inspired to commit violent acts, but have kept the tweet on Twitter because it is important that the public still be able to see the tweet given its relevance to ongoing matters of public importance. As is standard with this notice, engagements with the tweet will be limited. People will be able to retweet with comment, but will not be able to like, reply, or retweet it. That is, retweeting without a comment. In other words, you can retweet it if you'd like to say something vile about it. In addition to the tweet, we get that. We're on your side. Twitter's actions against the president come after the president signed an executive order yesterday that took action against social media companies for repeatedly discriminating against and censoring conservatives. He issued the executive order after Twitter started applying controversial labels to his tweets while largely ignoring false statements from Democrats and the Chinese Communist Party. Now, Twitter took no action against numerous tweets that appeared to encourage rioting, destruction of property, or fighting against law enforcement. Now, here's some controversial tweets. Twitter didn't take any action against these tweets. None. They're from public figures, or they're tweets that went viral on the platform and garnered tens of thousands of retweets. You have to remember that. These tweets were from public figures, or they got a lot of retweets. Example, Black people have every right to burn down a country they built for free. Did they really? That's twisted history. Another one. Burn it down. F property. F cops. That's sweet. I bet she's nice. I think a lot of Americans really don't know how much the American Revolution was precipitated by the Crown's abuse of the policing power against the colonists. It was central and often led to unrest, riots, tarring and feathering, and the like. This same kind of person would also say that the Tea Party is an example, but it's not, by the way. There was no theft of property. One person did want to steal some tea, but they stopped him. The only property that was destroyed was the property of the Crown. The shipping company, the ship, nothing about it, except for the padlock that had everything locked up. That was the only thing they broke. And did you know they replaced the padlock? They bought another one and handed it to the guy the next day. There is zero comparison between what was done during our revolution to leave the British crown, the rulership of the British crown. There is no comparison. Another one. The looting in Minnesota, and as much as I don't like this type of violence, it is what it is. Too much peaceful marches, too much trending hashtags, and no solutions. The people are left no choice. The people are left with many choices besides violence. But when you've been brainwashed to believe otherwise, what else are you going to say? Here's another one from a tattoo artist. Cover your face, cover your tattoos, take out any identifiable piercings, wear masks, cover your hair, turn your location off, make sure they cannot trace back to you when you are looting, rioting, protesting. Protect yourself. Now, why wasn't that censored? This is encouraging people in their criminal activity, telling them how to get away with criminal activity. But they didn't do anything about that. Another one. It is estimated that the Boston Tea Party, the riot that gave birth to this country, resulted in $1.7 million in today's dollars in property damage to tea. I'm just going to leave this right here for whoever needs to read it. Well, let me just say to you, sir, you're wrong, as I've already spelled out. $1.7 million damage in today's dollars to the Crown, to Great Britain, not to anyone else. If we want to pull this in as an example, you could say a direct relation to this would be destroying the police department precinct, but not touching anything else. Then you can compare. Then you can compare. But when they strip a target, burn down an auto zone, raid liquor stores and burn down other buildings, when the next night they come in and burn the precinct down, when they do all of this stuff, destroying cars and private property and all, you can't compare it to the Boston Tea Party. You can't. There is no way. And any attempt to compare it to our fight for liberty is deeply deceptive. Another one says, unpopular opinion, violence is the answer. Why is that not censored? Why is there not a notice placed on that? Violence is the answer. That's a direct reference to violence. It's an encouragement to violence, not a reminder that violence is the reward for criminal activity. Michael Moore, the filmmaker. Good citizens burning down the evil police precinct in Minnesota after all police were out and safe. All police should go home. No violence, please. Police HQ must be demolished by the city tomorrow as a show of contrition to Black America. Rebuild police department with decent, kind people, a.k.a. people of color. Mr. Moore, would you pull those decent, kind people of color from the crowds that are throwing rocks, breaking windshields, destroying private property, burning businesses? Are those the people you'd rebuild the police department with, sir? Those people of color? And, of course, the one I mentioned yesterday from Ice Cube. How long will we go for blue-on-black crime before we strike back? Strike back? Striking back is violence. Striking back, and this tweet is an encouragement to striking back, committing violence. And yet, it wasn't tagged, it wasn't labeled, it wasn't censored. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey has ties to Black Lives Matter. His company painted hashtag Black Lives Matter on a wall at its San Francisco headquarters and placed the company squarely into the national debate about excessive force used by the police with blacks. That's according to USA Today from a report in 2014. Jack Dorsey sides with the people committing violence and sides against a president reminding these people that the just reward for their criminal activity could be violence itself. As you can see, the playing field isn't level. They don't intend for it to be, and they will not allow it to be leveled. Which is why it's time to do something about social media. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Good to have you along today. What's happening in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and beginning to spin up in other cities across America, is not, regardless of what we may be told, is not a justifiable response to what a police officer did. It is not. They may try to spin this, they may try to paint it in such a way, but it is not. The destruction of a city, the destruction of the neighborhood these people all live in, is not the answer. We learned that in Baltimore. We learned that in other places as well. Every time this is spun up and rioters come to the area and destroy private property, it has hurt the community. Doesn't help anything. And they justify it by saying this is the only justifiable right response to what has happened. No, it's not. No. Just no. The Department of Justice said yesterday it's made an investigation into police involvement in the death of George Floyd a top priority after a second day of violent protests in Minneapolis over the unarmed black man's death. Experienced prosecutors and investigators from the Federal Bureau of Investigation have been assigned as part of a robust probe into whether the police officers involved had violated federal laws. According to the department's statement, the demonstrations accompanied by looting and vandalism began on Wednesday, hours after Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey urged prosecutors to file criminal charges against the white policeman shown pinning Floyd to the street. A video taken by a bystander showed a handcuffed Floyd, 46 years old, lying face down, groaning for help, and repeatedly saying, "Please, I can't breathe," before becoming motionless. He died in a hospital shortly after. Actually, I read that the paramedics who arrived on the scene couldn't find a pulse on the scene. The U.S. Attorney's Office, where the District of Minnesota, the Justice Department Civil Rights Division, and the FBI's Minneapolis field office will carry out the investigation. The victim's brother, Philanes Floyd, told CNN yesterday he was tired of seeing black men die and understood people's anger, but urged protesters to be peaceful. He said, to the police, "I want them to get everything right. Start doing your job the right way because I haven't been seeing it." On Wednesday, President Donald Trump called Floyd's death a very, very sad event after a reporter asked him about it. White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany yesterday, urged demonstrators to curb the violence and looting, saying, "Everyone has the right to protest. There's no doubt about that, but it needs to be peaceful and in accordance with the law." The city identified the four officers involved in the encounter as Derek Chauvin, Thomas Lane, Tao Thao, and J. Alexander Kung. It did not say who knelt on Floyd's neck and gave no further information. The local media has identified Chauvin as the officer who knelt on Floyd. His attorney, Tom Kelly, said in an email to Reuters he did not have a statement about the incident. Of course he wouldn't. A petition on change.org calling for authorities to arrest and charge the four had more than 1.1 million signatures on Thursday morning. In 2007, Chauvin received a letter of reprimand for violating the department's mobile and video recording policy, according to a disciplinary records obtained by Reuters through a public service request. I wonder, he doesn't say, but I wonder if that reprimand was for not recording or ending recording or editing, deleting recordings. It makes me wonder. Given his behavior and his record, this is not his first run-in. Just so you know, this guy was a bad seed. There's no argument about that. There's not an argument about this being wrong. As I said yesterday, this was wrong. It should not have happened. It was a terrible thing. And the police officer or officers involved who allowed it to happen should be dealt with accordingly. The Star Tribune also reported that Thau, who went through the police academy in 2009, was one of two officers sued by a man who accused them of excessive use of force. That case was settled out of court for $25,000, according to the Star Tribune. Yikes. It's a sad thing. George Floyd's family is upset about all of the stuff. They're pleading for peace. They're saying the riots would devastate him. They're calling for peace and calm amid violent protests and looting that erupted in Minneapolis following his tragic death. According to the Star Tribune, Floyd's girlfriend of 3 years, Courtney Ross, said she is heartbroken over the chaos that broke out in the city Tuesday and Wednesday night. Floyd died Monday after a police officer knelt on his neck. We already know about all that. Waking up this morning, she says, to see Minneapolis on fire would be something that would devastate Floyd. He loved the city. He came here from Houston and stayed here for the people and the opportunities. Floyd was a gentle giant. He was about love and about peace. Now, remember, they said the same thing about, was it Michael Brown? The kid who got shot in Ferguson? Didn't they say the same thing about him? She added that she wanted the protesters. By the way, I have to say that because I happen to know something you may not know. And that is that the reason the police were called was because apparently Floyd was passing a counterfeit 20 at the time. He was apparently about love and peace and passing fake money around. But I digress. She added that she wanted the protesters to know that while she understands their frustration, she wants people to protest in a peaceful way. The Star Tribune also reported that some of Floyd's relatives echoed Ross's sentiments through their attorney, Benjamin Crump, who for many years has represented families across the country left mourning the death of loved ones during police encounters. So that's his gig. Crump said in a statement issued after speaking with some of Floyd's relatives that they thank the protesters for joining them in standing for justice, but we also cannot sink to the level of our oppressors, and we cannot endanger each other as we respond to the necessary urge, that is, to raise our voices in unison and outreach. We also cannot sink to the level of our, what? Oppressors. This guy is clearly a progressive. Because oppression and victimhood are key in progressive thought. Let me explain to you, since you don't clearly understand, sir, who the oppressors actually are. The oppressors are the progressives who keep lying to these people and telling them that their lives are going to be better if they let them govern. Those are the oppressors. Because those oppressors are incompetent. They don't know how life really works. They don't know how business really works. They don't know how economy really works. They don't know how society really works. And they deny human nature in an effort to hoodwink people into voting them into office so that they can experiment on society. And as a result, society spirals downward and great cities crumble to the ground. And the people suffer. Those are your oppressors, sir. Crump added in a tweet that the family wants peace in Minneapolis and that the looting and violence distract from strength, the strength of our collective voice. And as I predicted yesterday, people looking for the TV cameras are headed to Minneapolis. Hot Air notes in its report, quote, thus far, all is quiet today in Minneapolis, but that might be changing. Coming to the city today are those agents of calm and reason, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. The two reverends, who are mainstays at civil rights protests, announced that they would be visiting the city this week. Early in the morning on Thursday, Sharpton tweeted, quote, headed to Minneapolis today, end quote. Then Jackson confirmed to KSTP-TV that he would be holding a news conference in the city on Thursday, yesterday. The Star Tribune reported that Sharpton spoke to protesters just steps away from the place where Floyd was arrested Monday night. There he said, quote, listen carefully, quote, the violence was started on this corner when the man was choked to death. There's a difference between peace and quiet. Some people just want quiet. Peace is justice. Wow. The violence was started. In other words, it's not your fault that you're being violent, throwing rocks, hurting people, destroying businesses, destroying your community. No, no, no. That's okay. They started it. The violence was started on this corner by the cops. It's the police's fault, not yours. Some people just want quiet. Peace is justice. In other words, tear the city down. It's the only way you're going to get peace. Jesse Jackson reportedly met with elected officials and faith leaders at the Greater Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, quote, to stand in solidarity and demand justice in the death of George Floyd. Well, at least he wasn't on the street encouraging people to give violence for violence and blaming the cops for all of the violence.
It's not my fault. He started it.
Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Of course they were going to show up. Of course. It's how they make their living. Off the pain and suffering of others. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast for Friday, the 29th day of May, 2020. Interesting quote here. It took a worldwide pandemic. It took a 35% plunge in the stock market. It took 6 feet of social distancing. It took quarantining. It took many small businesses closing. It took canceling practically everything to bring the USA economy back to the Obama high mark. Ooh. That was from Rush Limbaugh. He's absolutely correct. Ooh, a worldwide pandemic, 35% plunge in the stock market, 6 feet of social distancing, quarantining, small businesses closing, canceling practically everything, and it brought our economy back to the high mark of the Obama administration. Just a little thought to remember today. Oh, not only have Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton checked in, Representative Maxine Waters. Good grief. The Democrat from California. She's blaming President Donald Trump for the killing of George Floyd. Her rationale? It's because of the way he's dog-whistling police and white supremacists, making them bolder. You know exactly who she's talking to. She's talking to the uninformed. She's talking to the ignorant. She's talking to the people who want to be angry about their lives. And because of progressive policies, they have good cause to be angry about their lives. Their progressive leaders have been walking them down the garden path, making them great promises, whispering sweet nothings into their ears for decades, and not delivering on their promises, and their lives just get worse and worse, and the cities they live in are crumbling around them because the progressives are ignoramuses who can't run anything. And their lives are trashed because of the people they keep electing. And Maxine Waters is one of those people they keep electing and making their lives worse and then blaming everyone else for their problems. Maxine Waters was talking to TMZ. She said, "I'm reflecting on all the killings of young black men in particular, but of course black women as well, at the hands of the police and at the hands of, you know, these white supremacists. I'm thinking about the way that the president conducts himself. In a way, he's dog whistling, and I think that they're feeling that they can get away with this kind of treatment." You see what she's doing here? She's trying to make these people believe that the president and everybody who doesn't share their skin color, that they're deeply prejudiced, that they're white supremacists. What she's doing is drawing a line in the sand and telling people of color to hate white people because white people, she says, with zero justification, that white people hate people of color. Now, if we're going to be honest, and you know I use that word a lot, honest, honesty, if we're going to be honest with ourselves and with life, there are some things we have to admit. One of those things is prejudice, racial prejudice, doesn't exist like it used to. Yeah, there were times when racial prejudice existed, but it doesn't exist in that same way today. There's still some. There's still some holdouts. But by and large, the vast majority of people, all of us, we don't care about skin color. We don't care about ethnic backgrounds. We just don't care. We care about people. We've gotten past appearances and we look to behavior. What do people do versus what they look like or what they say? What do people really do? And in order to look at life through that lens, you do have to ignore everything but behavior. And so we don't like people who do certain things because it harms us all. Skin color is not a factor, unless you're an ignoramus. And let me just say, there are ignoramuses everywhere. And there are a lot of them in government. A lot of them. Maxine Waters is a racist. She also said the police officer enjoyed the killing of Floyd. Quote, "I think that the officer who had his knee on his neck enjoyed doing what he was doing. I believe sometimes some of these officers leave home thinking, I'm going to get me one today. And I think this is his one that he got today. And he didn't care whether or not anybody was photographing him. He did what he was doing, and the officers who stood there and watched him are just as guilty as he is, and I'm glad that all of them were fired." I'm going to get me one today. Maxine Waters and Al Sharpton are cut from exactly the same cloth. They're rabble-rousers who use inflammatory rhetoric to anger people into action, which does no good. None. She adds, "The force in this case was well beyond what was necessary," saying, "If in fact you've subdued a suspect, that you're not in any danger at all because the handcuffs are on him, there's no reason for the police to do what these police did. And they don't even mention it in the report that the knee was on the neck of George Floyd. You give them the right, they would say to shoot you if you interfere in an arrest." Okay. And she praised the people who were videoing the killing, exposing the police conduct. And I get that. And in the cases where police misconduct does happen, it is valuable to have this. Which is why people are calling for body cams and things like that. I don't disagree with that. And I think that they should be left on at all times, that they should be activated whenever something happens, whenever there is a situation, that they have to activate the body cameras, or that there should be technology put in place that activates the body cameras under specific conditions. And that'll remove a lot of things that are being claimed. I think, honestly, it would provide proof that the vast majority of the claims against beliefs are bogus. And because of cases like this, bad cops like this, every time a cop stops a person of color, the claims were made that it was racist because of bad cops like this. This one guy, it happens from time to time. As I said yesterday, it's the exception. It is not the rule. It is the exception. But it will be painted by people like Maxine Waters and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson as something that is common, an everyday occurrence. And all cops everywhere are evil and racist. This is what they are trying to say. To stir people up, to make them angry. Because when they're angry, they're emotional. When they're emotional, they aren't thinking. And when they aren't thinking, they can be manipulated. Because that is how progressives operate. One of the things I've told you in the past is that it's always best to wait before passing judgment on certain situations. This is one of those situations. Like I said yesterday, what we know about this is practically nothing. What we know is what we've seen on the video. What we know is what people are claiming. We still don't really know everything that happened. We won't know everything that happened until an investigation has taken place and all of the material involved, all of the information involved, has been sifted and we know what's true and what's not. As what happened in Ferguson. Once we got to the end of that story, we found out the hands up, don't shoot story was a lie. We found out that the officer shooting an innocent sweetheart, teddy bear, gentle giant in cold blood was a lie. That the teddy bear, gentle giant was actually attacking the officer, tried to take his gun off of him, reaching into his police vehicle and actually managing to squeeze off a round inside the vehicle, beating the officer and then charging him when the officer left his vehicle to confront him. We found out this guy was not what people said he was. That's what happens when you let the facts be discovered. Well, there's been a bombshell statement from a county law enforcement official during a media briefing about charges in the death of George Floyd. And of course, since it didn't go against the police, it drew immediate outrage and backlash on social media. Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman said yesterday that charges were not filed yet against the police officer who allegedly caused Floyd's death because of, quote, other evidence, end quote, that did not support the filing of criminal charges. Freeman said at the media briefing that the county needed to carefully investigate and not rush to judgment, despite the public clamor for the officer to be charged, quote, it's a violation of my ethics to talk and evaluate evidence before we announce our charging decision, and I will not do that. I will say this, that the video is graphic and horrific and terrible, and no person should do that. But my job in the end is to prove that he violated criminal statutes. And there is other evidence that does not support a criminal charge. We need to wade through all of that evidence and come to a meaningful determination. And we're doing that to the best of our ability. The statement appeared to be a response to a call from the mayor of Minneapolis on Wednesday for the police officer to be criminally charged in the controversial death. Of course, a politician would make a stand in order to endear himself to those who are rioting. Oh, yeah, we should prosecute this man. Sure, you can say that. You're not involved in it. You don't really have a dog in this fight. You're just looking for votes. Mayor Jacob Frey says, if I had done it, we'd be behind bars right now. We cannot turn a blind eye. Whew, I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Also yesterday, the governor of Minnesota activated the National Guard in order to prevent the looting and rioting that followed upon protests in Minneapolis. There were only 500, by the way. That's a pretty thin line of National Guard. There really needs to be many times more than that. And there needs to be a line drawn in the sand. This is my personal opinion. There needs to be a line drawn in the sand. And you deal with these people just like you would an angry toddler. I hate to have to use that illustration, but you have to. I said no. Bang. And I don't mean shoot somebody. I mean take somebody down. I said no. I said not to cross that line. You decided to be a wise ass and cross that line. Let me show you what happens. That's what needs to happen in Minneapolis and all of these situations. Back to this quote. If you'd done it or I had done it, we'd be behind bars right now. We cannot turn a blind eye. No. No, actually. If we were police officers working in a situation where someone had committed a criminal act, in this particular situation, we would not be behind bars right now. Because there would be an ongoing investigation. There would have to be a determination of what actually happened, not an assumption. So no, that's not how things work. And excuse me, Mr. Mayor Fry, you know that. And you just said that to curry favor. Shame on you, sir. Shame on you for playing games with hurting people. Welcome back to this last segment of the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Oh my, so much talk about Minneapolis. I had other things I wanted to talk about today. Twitter, tech billionaires, Jack Dorsey, the 4th of July celebrations at the White House, still going on. Joe Biden saying something really troubling. And more. And you know what I'll do? I'm just going to give you my whole list of show notes for today. So today on show notes, look for it on the Facebook page and at dailyperspectivepodcast.com. I'll give you the show notes for everything I didn't get to. How about that? Everything we talked about plus what didn't get talked about. It is time to stop pretending that Twitter is neutral. I'll give you that article. Tech billionaires planning to boost Biden's digital campaigning. Yeah, the people behind Twitter, Facebook, and the like, they're in Joe Biden's corner. They have a vested interest in destroying Trump. They really want to destroy Trump. And so they're going to help Biden as much as they can. There's an article about that. And what else is there? Oh, back to Minneapolis. Did you see that there was a CNN crew that got arrested while they were reporting on the ground in Minneapolis? Did you see that? Now, CNN is playing this, of course, to their advantage. It's a sensational story. It happened live while they were reporting. And the reporter kept asking, why are we being arrested? Why are we being arrested? As Paul Harvey used to say, there is a rest of the story. And that is that they had been told to move. The line the police draw in an encounter like this is constantly changing. You need to move. Get over there. The areas they don't want you in because of the potential of harm to you or because you're there getting in their way is constantly changing. And apparently, from what I did some digging this morning before we got started, and I was seeing a lot of reporting about, oh, this is a terrible thing, it's a First Amendment violation, yada, yada, yada. But I was also seeing mentions here and there about, yeah, we saw what was going on. The cops told them to move. And they decided to hang around because what was happening where they were was juicy. So they wanted to get some more video of that and get the guy in front of the camera talking about what was going on. So they stayed where they had been told to move from for just a bit too long. And the cops said, okay, that's it. You're under arrest. When you're in a situation like what's going on and playing out right now in Minneapolis, there is a zero tolerance policy in place for foolhardiness. I'm sorry, I told you to move. I look back and you haven't moved. Okay, in the police car. I told you. Because, as I said, things are in flux. They're constantly changing. The danger profile is constantly moving. You don't know where the line of safety actually is. And news crews sometimes get cocky. And sometimes they will ignore the warnings of the police because the story, to them, the story is more important than what the police are telling them to do or not do. And so the reporters get in the way. And when the reporters get in the way, cops get hurt, innocent people get hurt, things spin out of control. Because those perpetuating the violence will take advantage of that wild card, the news crew, being in the scenario. And if the news crew is in the way and will keep the cops from getting to them while they do something, they'll take advantage of that. And so more property damage happens, more personal damage happens, and sometimes those who are committing the violence will take advantage of a news crew distracting the police in order to harm the police. So when the police tell a news crew, you need to move from here and get over there, the news crew had best do it. And if they don't do it, then the news crew needs to accept the consequences of their decision. And from what I've been seeing, which we may never find any concrete substantiation for because the news crew is going to defend itself and everybody in the leftist press is going to defend the news team. But from what I can see, what they did for the sake of the story was ignore the cops. And the cops said, okay, that's enough. So keep that in mind when you're seeing all these stories pop up today about the First Amendment's right of the First Amendment rights of a CNN news crew being violated by these evil cops in Minneapolis. Because it's not true. At least from what I can tell, it's not true. And of course, they are going to play it up as much as they can because it's sensational. And sensationalism is what drives news reporting. This is something I've told you again and again. It's not about the truth. It's about the number of eyes and ears and the amount of money you can make off of them. That's what it's about. So it has to be sensational. That old story, that old saying, if it bleeds, it leads, is true. And the news media will go after the most sensational aspect of a story. I actually went back and forth in an exchange with somebody on social media over the last couple of days about this particular situation where they were talking, they're trying to compare this, and you may have seen this with your liberal friends. They're trying to compare the situation in Minneapolis and these protesters, rioters. They're not protesters. When they're violent like this, they're not protesting, they're rioting. These rioters, they're trying to compare them to the peaceful protesters who showed up at the Michigan State House with guns in a completely, totally non-violent protest of their Second Amendment rights, their constitutional rights being violated by their government. They show up and they did, let's see, where is it here? I responded, let's see here. So it was Robert Reich who posted something on Twitter, and it got posted to Facebook by a friend. And Robert Reich said, so let me get this straight. Black Lives Matter protesters are tear gassed for protesting the murder of George Floyd, but MAGA protesters are left alone for bringing AR-15s inside state capitals? Well, first off, they weren't tear gassed for protesting. They were tear gassed for the destruction of public property. They were tear gassed for throwing rocks and breaking windows at a police precinct and breaking the windows out of police cars. They were tear gassed for being violent. That's why. The MAGA protesters, thank you, George, or Robert, the Second Amendment protesters weren't violent. And my response was stripping a Target bare, emptying a liquor store, torching an AutoZone, destroying the front of a police precinct, and beating a man because he had a Trump bumper sticker on his vehicle are just a teeny bit different than a bunch of people showing up at a protest carrying legally owned firearms and not being violent in any way. And the response from my friend was, I just wonder what the response would be if all those, quote, patriots, end quote, in Michigan had been suffocated to death by a knee on the neck. And my response to him was, none of the criminal activity which happened in Minnesota would have happened. Someone else chimed in and said, I also seem to recall the Capitol protesters blocking access to a hospital emergency room because they were blockading the whole area with their cars. The difficulty with protests is you don't really have any control over who else gets to come, so you get plenty of well-meaning people and a few complete jackasses who F it up for everybody else. That said, the police response, even against the peaceful parts of the Minnesota protests, looked like overkill when you think about the fact that later, one of those Michigan lunatics with guns decided to kill a security guard who asked him to wear a mask when he was going into a store. And my response is, of course, this Michigan white man also weren't tear-gassed, which was what sparked the violent actions. And let's see, what else was the men in Michigan also didn't throw rocks at the police station vehicles. That's why. And also there is the news aspect. Somebody said something about the news media needed to focus. Here it was. Also media included need to focus the attention on the vast majority of the protesters in Minneapolis who aren't breaking the law. Well, that'll never happen. The news media is not going to focus on the peaceful people. They never, ever do. You don't see those stories. What you see are the people who break the law and get violent, because that's what attracts attention. And that's what we're watching now. The media is having a field day. And it's all terribly wrong. And that's it. God bless you. Have a couple of days. I'll be back on Monday for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?